Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Tuesday. Let's see. I have a baggage. You get one of these, Jeffrey, from the Grizzlies?
I did. I was just handed it before the show.
Yeah, well, we'll go over that in a minute. We'll see what's in the bag here in a moment. Grizzlies open their season tomorrow. NBA tips off tonight. How about that? So here we are, start of another NBA season. The Grizzlies 25th in Memphis. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the NFL. We never got to catch up with Jeffrey on what he thought of college football over the weekend. We have a World Series matchup with a thrilling Game 7. I don't know if you saw this, but Vlad Guerrero, this was bold. He came to Game 7 wearing a Maple Leafs jersey. Did you see that?
I did.
Like all the Maple Leafs do is choke in Game 7s. And he was not – I thought that was a confident move, and it certainly paid off. And now we got a Dodgers-Blue Jays World Series. So we do have a whole lot to get to. We're going to have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. He has a Grizzlies preview, which I commend to you. Fabulous as is everything that Chris does, and it's up at the Daily Memphian. And then Fishman's going to join us. Fish on Friday, on Tuesday. We'll do that in the second hour as well. So it's the second hour is Harrington, and then Fishman. The first hour is us. Before anything else, I did want to revisit. Yesterday, I was at home when I got the text/call, both from you saying that you had been sidelined by a double flat. And this story is just honestly a horrifying story, just tragic on all counts. And I wasn't even sure that we wanted to get into it. But I do think it's a cautionary tale for people. And so let's just talk a little bit about what happened yesterday. You were driving your merry way to work.
Correct.
Where were you?
So I just dropped my daughter off. She goes to First Baptist. So I just dropped her off, and the pothole was at Poplar and Collins. So it's like if you're heading eastbound.
Eastbound on Poplar.
It's right before you get to the overpass that goes above on
over the viaduct.
Correct. Over the viaduct where Union
is. So you were not yet on the viaduct, or were you?
Correct.
I see. So just before then.
Correct.
Heading east, and it was a pothole?
Yes.
And what is a double flat?
You blew out both tires.
You mean two separate tires?
Correct.
Front and back?
Front and back on the passenger side.
On the same pothole?
Correct.
Boom, boom?
Yep. So I know how to fix a flat. So
did you know it instantly? Does it just go boom, boom?
Like I mean, you hear that there's an unmistakable sound of when you have a flat I've never had a double.
I've never heard of that. It hitting the same pothole with the front and the back is so that's a miserable thing. So then you can't drive, obviously.
Correct. So because I'm sitting there, I'm like looking at the tire gauge, seeing like because there's a gateway tire within a mile, and I was like, if I can just get it to there, I'll be fine. But it's obvious right off the bat, like that's not
happening. They're flat as flat can be.
Correct.
Oh, how demoralizing. So then what happened?
So then I called AAA trying to get a tow truck. And I was like, can you, I'll tow it to Gateway. And then I'd called Gateway and I'd figured out like, okay, here are the tires that I want. And that was my plan. The issue, and you can tell, so when they're trying to locate you, they always want to send you to the app. Even if you're on the phone with someone.
Right.
They always want to send you the app. And I was like, I'm calling you because the app uses the geolocation and they're sending, it thinks that I am at Flicker Street, which is underneath. And I go, I'm not. Oh. And I even put the note in the app that I am on Poplar, eastbound.
They thought you were underneath the viaduct.
Correct. And I was like, because it looks for the closest address that it can find. And that's a long stretch without any address. And so, 45 minutes turns into an hour and a half, turns into 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours.
Correct. Because I texted you at what, 8:30?
Yeah. 8:30, 8:40.
Yeah.
All right. And now we get to the really awful part. What happened next?
Correct. So what happened next is, when you're sitting just in your car with your thoughts for basically 2.5 hours, like you start noticing all the things that were happening. And I saw this one guy that was in a Chevy Avalanche, and he was kind of like, it looked like he was working the area, like, because I saw him multiple times. It's like one car that I saw multiple times, just kind of going back and forth. And so finally, at around 11:15, he pulls up in front of me. And he gets out. He goes, "Hey, are you okay? Because he's seen me for basically 2.5-3 hours. Like, and he's like, 'Are you okay?'" And I was like, "Yes, I'm good. I've called the tow truck. I think I've finally spoken to someone. I think they're on their way." Well, the issue is at this point, I've had my flashers on for 2.5 hours. My battery's dead. So I was trying to like roll the window down to let him know, "Hey, thank you, but I've spoken to someone. I think I'm good." And so he kind of pulls closer, and when I realize, like, I'm not going to be able to get my window down, I slightly crack out my door, and I say, "Hey, thank you. I appreciate it, but I am good. I've spoken to a tow truck. I'm all good." And he's like, "Okay, did you pop your tires at Collins?"
Right.
And I was like, "Yeah, yes, I did." And he's like, "Oh, I've had a lot of customers.
What do you think this guy did for a living?
I think if you made, like, context clues, I think he was like, he would go and help people fix flats, and like he would be the equivalent of like a lot mechanic or whatnot, but he was just helping people. He probably goes and he looks for areas where there's potholes, knowing there's going to be flat tires, fix your flat for you. You probably pay him, $50-$100.
All right. So what happened?
Well, then, so as I slightly open my door, I just hear whoosh, a ting, and I see him go flying. And I mean flying.
And someone had hit him.
Someone had hit him. It took a second for it to register because I didn't. I'm looking. He's in front of my car, so I'm looking at him, and I'm not. I'm not looking behind me. So I don't.
Was he out in the road, or would he have been?
So we're in. I'm in the third lane because there's no shoulder or anything over there. So I'm in the third lane, parked by the sidewalk of the overpass, and with my flashers on. So. The big mistake is like, hey, no matter what, even trying to help people or not, don't go in the middle of the highway.
Well, he wasn't in the middle of the highway.
I mean, he was in the third lane.
He was in the third lane.
Yeah.
Because you were in the lane.
Correct.
There was no shoulder.
There's no shoulder, and I couldn't, it was all my past. I couldn't, like, drive up onto the curb.
Right. He could have gone to the passenger side.
Right. And, I mean, I'm not.
No, not it's just horrible. And the person who hit him, did that person stop?
Oh yeah, we immediately, everyone just gets into like that panic, chaotic state, and so you know, we go and we check on him and it's bad. And so I immediately call 911. And I mean, I do give all the credit in the world. Like, you maybe lose a little concept of time in those types of things, but felt like cops were on the scene almost immediately. Then the fire department and the EMTs got there shortly after, and they were able to get him out and rush him to the trauma center. So,
and we've not heard what happened.
I've just been refreshing the Action News 5 story. There's no update.
Well, that's just awful for everybody involved. Obviously, for him and his family,
most
he literally could have lost his life trying to be a good guy.
Correct. Offering to help.
Offering to help. And then for you who witnessed it, and then for the person who hit him.
And I saw there was a story out there that said the driver fled the scene. That is not true. There was no attempt. There was, like, she was there the whole time. Like, there was nothing. Like, she was in a state of panic, and, you know, that was never the case.
Well, I'm really sorry that happened to everybody. It does. I mean, there's nothing. Everything I would say now sounds cliche. Life can change in a minute, right?
But I mean, like, that's kind of the other thing is, like, you know, when you replay it, you're like, this feels like a bad movie. Like, you know, like, that's
kind of like a million things that could have not happened. Like, whatever. If you,
like, Crash, like, that's kind of like what it is. Like, it's a little different in the end, but, like, that's kind of what it is.
It's a million different things come together to create this
right
awful moment that literally can change people's lives forever. And I do think, I mean, I have no idea what the driver was doing or whatnot, but it is, I mean, I was talking about this with Claire yesterday. Even apart from texting on your phone, I'm not saying she was,
right,
but it is a reminder to me, because I, like, hand up, I've texted on my driven, you know, and it's not just texting. As Claire said to me yesterday, she said, how many times? There are lots of times when I've looked down. Again, I have no idea what
right
she was doing. She may have been totally both hands on the wheel, looking straight ahead, whatever. But the point is, for the rest of us, those things can happen. You don't know if someone's going to be stopped in your lane. How many times have I looked down at my phone just for a moment and then looked up and, like, whoa, you know, like, oh, almost.
Especially
if someone's walking along that you didn't see.
Well, the one for me is, like, it used to be when I lived on when I lived off Mendenhall and I'd drive to work. A lot of those houses on Mendenhall, like, as you approach Poplar, they have a lot of yard work. And the people don't park in the driveways. They just park on the street. And so, like, there's multiple times I've looked up and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
my God,
you can just look up and, whoa! So, well, I obviously pray for the gentleman and who was being a good Samaritan, and for everyone involved. That just is an absolutely horrific way to spend the day, and I can't imagine for you.
I've had better days.
I don't know how you go to sleep. Like, it probably replays in your mind.
It's pretty hard to think about anything else. Ugh.
So, everyone be careful out there as you're driving around the streets of Memphis. All right, I guess we have to segue from that. We are glad to have you back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We muddled along as best we could without you, but on a College Football Monday, that isn't that easy. So we certainly missed you. We're glad you were back, and we do have this bag from the Grizzlies.
Yes.
And I want to say that the let's open it here. The T-shirt, this is to the first 5,000 tomorrow night. The T-shirt is, let's see what we think. It's certainly big enough for me. It's a, I may have to give this to Conroy and Nathaniel. It's an extra large, and it's beautiful. It says 25 Memphis. Jaws, I think, is other. You, if you've been on social media, maybe you've seen it. It really is beautiful. It's Ja and Jaren at the front. But then in the backdrop, it is all these Grizzlies of the years past. It's J. Will. It's obviously the core four are right there.
Shane.
Shane.
Powell.
Powell. There's Grizz. There's Rudy's made it.
At the bottom, we have Elliot.
Elliot.
Brevin.
Elliot. Brevin's made it. Lorenzen. That's
yep.
Lorenzen, right?
Yep.
And
Tayshaun.
That's Tayshaun. I think we got everybody.
And then Grizz. Right? Did we
and
mention
then,
Grizz?
And then Grizz. And it is a great shirt.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is a great shirt. And that'll go to the first 5,000 tomorrow night. That's exciting. We got the season calendar. That's exciting.
And for those who celebrate, I love a schedule magnet. I know it's a very like
I have a problem.
Southern SEC football thing.
Yeah, no.
Chris, but like I love
Chris it. Chris totally loves the magnet. Chris cannot. My problem is my refrigerator is some kind of metal that doesn't hold it. Like,
yeah, that's tough. Well, this is also big for me because this is an extra magnet. So when Josephine comes home with stuff, that's an extra thing that
you can stick on. Yeah. You need when you got kids, you need magnets to stick. Yeah, exactly right. So that's great. And then a poster. I do wonder what this is. House rule number one, show up. Is that exhorting the people?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with the message. The problem I have with this poster, Jeff, it's a two-sided poster.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
What do you...
Which side? One's a calendar.
Right.
One's just... No, you're right. You're right. No, you're right. You're right. You're right. It's a two-sided poster.
I mean, I guess you could use it like a massive coach's play sheet.
Right.
And you just flip it over.
Memphis is like no other place in the world. FedEx Forum is like no other place in Memphis. And during Grizzly season, it's the all-action rise-up show-out United We Ball center of the Bluff City universe. There's no energy like Grizz game energy, and there's nothing like being there with your friends, your city, your team. Show up. It's telling people to show up, Jeffrey, which is a little pointed, I think. But there's the calendar. Oh, and while we have it, let's see what they're telling us some of the promotions. And, you know, I'll be a good citizen and let the people know. The Grizzlies tip off their 25th season in Memphis Wednesday, October 22nd. That's tomorrow against the Pelicans. First 5,000 fans in attendance. And you will want one of these. Grizzlies 25th anniversary T-shirt designed by Good Hippie. And now special promotions. $25 for 25 seasons. Turn up at FedEx Forum as the Grizzlies tip off their 25th season in Memphis with a three-game homestand. To celebrate, fans can take advantage of tickets as low as $25 for the first three games of the season against the Pelicans, Heat, and Pacers. But you'll want to hustle as inventory is limited. $25 in this
absolutely.
Is this day and age? That's a deal. So there you go. Also, mini packs, three-game mini pack. You can lock in your season for opening night against the Pelicans, Halloween versus the Lakers, and an NBA Cup showdown against Cooper Flagg and the Magnet and the Mavericks, not the Magnets. That'd be totally different. So there you go. And that's the gist of it. We got the Grizzlies. We're on the eve. This is NBA season eve or Grizz season eve. It's NBA season tonight, but it's Grizz season eve. T-shirt's fantastic.
Yeah,
good job,
absolutely.
Grizzlies.
That leans so with this.
What's that? Yeah. Nicely done. We also got the news from the Grizzlies that Ja Morant is good to go. That's good, right? I don't think, did we ever doubt? Let's be honest. So on that day when he sprained his ankle, there was, and I get it, I get it. Maybe we overreact. Maybe we overreact. There was a little bit of gloom. But I don't think we wallowed in that gloom for a while. Don't you
think? No, I think by the end of the day, everyone...
We quickly realized.
I'm not holding anyone at fault. When you read Ja Morant ankle injury, you're allowed to react how you react. But by the end of the day, I think everyone...
I went to that first preseason game and he was walking around. And I think we all... Let's be honest. If you've been listening to this radio program, and I'm just going to presume if you're listening now that maybe you have been, that we kind of thought that Jaren and Ja would be good to go for opening night, didn't we?
Yes.
And I believe that. So that's great. The less great news, Ty Jerome.
Yep. This was not a great weekend for...
It was not a great weekend for, period, anything. Like, this was yesterday. I mean, I had no idea the tragic turn.
Well, it hadn't happened yet.
What?
The bad thing hadn't happened yet. When you were on the air, I just had two flat tires.
Yeah, and then we were just talking about the deflating flat tires and the deflating weekend, because it was just an awful sports weekend in lots of ways. I guess the good news is that, like, it's not season ending. It's not half a season. It's not, like Scottie Pippen Jr. Like, Scottie Pippen Jr. was 12 weeks, right? 12 weeks, I think it was.
Was it 12 weeks and then a reevaluation?
Four months, yeah. Ty Jerome, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So it really does feel like, with the Grizzlies, well, Chris had a stat today, which was interesting. He wrote, and again, in his preview, he wrote about Jaren and Ja, and you know, it's... We're here, ladies and gentlemen. It's time. They have to carry this team, or there might be another pivot. We just had the pivot from the Desmond Bain, Ja, Jaren era. And if they can't stay healthy and be effective and whatever, there may at some point be another pivot. But in the course of this piece, and again, it's a piece that covers a lot of things. It's a preview. He has pointed out that in their six seasons together, they have played 219 games. They have averaged, it's just kind of incredible, 36.5 together per season. I mean, that's...
Well, and then that also includes, like, the first two seasons was a lot.
That's the bad news. We don't get them together much, okay? The good news is... They apparently, knock on everything, will be together tomorrow night. The one season when combined, again, this is from Chris's story, the only season that combined for 125 games. And with all due respect, in an 82-game season, that's not that many games. They combined for, they didn't combine for 140,
right.
Or they combined for 125. In that season, the Grizzlies had 56 wins.
Mm-hmm.
If you could get 125, or God forbid, 130 games.
65 apiece.
What?
65 apiece.
65 apiece.
Yes. It's going to be a good basketball.
Or maybe 70 from one. And
sure.
Whatever. If you could get 130 out of them. The other stat, and the hopeful stat, is when they are both on the court together, the Grizzlies have won 60% of those games.
Yeah.
And so, yes, there are going to be players missing. Zach Edey will be missing. Brandon Clark will be missing. Scottie Pippen Jr. will be missing. Ty Jerome will be missing. There will be players who are missing. But when those two are on the court together, they win 60% of their games. And if they can play a substantial amount of the games before the cavalry comes back, you hang on. Hell, you hang on and you're 500 till Zach Edey gets back.
Yep.
Right? Isn't that sort of the goal?
If you would give me that right now, I'd sign up.
Be 500 till Zach Edey returns.
Yep.
And then we'll see what happens. And then you can go ahead and build into the second half of the year. Anyway, I think it's exciting. It was exciting news to know and confirm that Ja was going to be back when that dropped yesterday. I love getting the t-shirt. T-shirt's fantastic. I'll be honest, it hasn't felt to me like there is a lot of momentum or excitement about this Grizzlies opener, but I'm starting to... Maybe the pack happened, and it's too bad they can't send a pack to all you people. Really, they should. It would be nice if every Memphian could get this. But I'm feeling more excited about the start of the Grizzly season, and the fact that it's their 25th season, kind of amazing. If you are under 30, you do not know Memphis without the Grizzlies, right?
Yep.
What do you think you start – like, how old do you have to be? If you're 35, you definitely – if you're 35, you can remember Memphis without the Grizzlies. How old are you?
I'm 37.
And you can remember Memphis yep. without the Grizzlies. But
– I feel like 7, 8.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You actually have distinct memories of these things.
Well, it's like what age do you start being able to watch a whole basketball game?
I don't know. I started watching sports really earnestly all the time. You hear there are 6-year-olds out there who are watching, right? And 8-year-olds certainly who are watching. I don't think I really started watching till 9 or 10. Maybe even, 9 or 10.
Yeah, I'm not the right person. Like, I think my dad took me to a football game when I was 2. And I'm pretty sure we didn't leave early.
Anyway, last night we had the Blue Jays. Do you believe? Obviously, this whole thing feels anticlimactic because the Dodgers feel like they feel inevitable, right? Would it have been better because of the Seattle story, the big dumper, all of that? If they've never been to the World Series, obviously Toronto, it's been a long time, 93.
Yeah,
but would it have been better if it had been Seattle?
I mean, personally, like that's always kind of been my second team. My dad used to represent a company out in Seattle.
It felt like the slightly better story.
Yeah, but I don't think the Blue Jays are hopeless in this series.
I don't think they're hopeless.
I think they can hit, and I do think that's the thing with the
Honestly,
Dodgers.
You got to get into the bullpen. Right?
That's it. You've got to get past their starting pitching.
Easy to say.
Correct.
Hard to do.
And by the way, your starting pitching has to deliver too.
Right. And then we had 2 NFL games.
Did we?
How'd you feel about Baker going down? It is amazing, by the way. He finally gets. It feels like the entire. Finally, you get the receiving core healthy.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, Baker's been awesome. What's he going to be able to do with the now that he's got his weapons? And there goes Mike Evans with an injury that I myself have suffered playing football, a broken clavicle.
Yeah, and then I also felt like, didn't they take him off the cart and he was in a walking boot? Like I felt like he was in, it was both. I mean, obviously it's the clavicle. He's going to miss most of the season. I don't know. Like to me, I think that what you saw with the Bucks last night is that when Baker plays as an MVP, they can sustain all this. But if he just plays fine, man, it looked hard for them to move the football. Because I actually thought their defense played pretty well, considering all the weapons that Detroit has.
I thought so.
Jameer Gibbs obviously was insane, but a lot of that's just, on one
I,
big run.
I am such in love with Jameer Gibbs. Here's a guy. Well, so he's when the never draft a running back in the first round crowd came out, and I'm like, well, what if they're awesome? You know, and so Jameer Gibbs and Bijan Robinson. Do you think Atlanta regrets?
I do not.
And do you think Detroit regrets?
I do not.
No, you can't do it unless they're special.
Correct.
You can't do it unless they're special.
You don't just take a running back.
No.
But if you believe,
and you got to figure out who's special.
Well, and like, I mean, we can disagree whether or not I was right, but like, they had conviction in taking Penei Sewell over Jamar Chase, and it's not like Jamar's been awesome.
That there's no wrong choice there.
Right.
I think there's no wrong choice. They've both been awesome, and it's how you want to build your
team. Correct.
So there you go. But yes, so Jameer Gibbs, 218 total yards for Jameer Gibbs. And the Detroit defense, given how injury ravaged they were at safety, it felt like the Bucs were going to come in and like he's
carve up
all
their
his weapons,
yep.
And they're just going to light up the Lions. They absolutely did not. Lions gave up just 251 yards, sack 4 times. And by the way, old friend Arthur Mollett.
Yeah.
5 tackles and a pick. How about that?
He had a big night.
Tigers represent.
All over the broadcast.
He didn't come up small like his old team. All right. And then Seattle and Houston, if you thought that all was right with C.J. Stroud after his previous performance where he lit it up, it was not last
Ravens
night.
Adjusted.
23 of 49. He was under siege. And the Houston offense was Legion of Boom time, and I guess some consolation for the people of Seattle that they got this win, even as their baseball team was going down. But Houston really couldn't do anything. They ran for 56 yards, and C.J. Stroud 23 of 49. It was not a great Sam Darnold night. Let's be honest.
It didn't have to be,
but it was good enough.
I mean, this is what I just keep going back to. Yeah, he had a bunch of false starts, but the idea that you were going to get better on your offensive line by getting rid of your best player,
right?
That never made any sense to me.
Detroit's 5-2. Seattle's 5-2. Do they feel different to you? Do you take one more seriously? You take Detroit more seriously. Why?
I don't know. I've not had a good pulse of what Seattle is. I think that they are very good. The teams are almost kind of like mirror images, whereas you believe way more in Detroit's offense,
right.
But don't you have to believe more in Seattle's defense?
100%. There was a, I think it was The Athletic, put out a highest chance of making the playoffs meter today.
Yep.
Who the hell knows what goes into these calculations?
It's proprietary.
But you know what team has the highest chance of making the playoffs according to this playoff meter?
I feel like the way you're asking is Seattle?
No, of all teams in the league. What team is most likely?
Colts? Because of the schedule?
Yeah. Who the hell would have imagined that?
I mean, that was a...
They got maybe an MVP running back.
Well, I mean, and on top of that, like, on Sunday, that game, like, yeah, congratulations, Herbert, garbage time hero, making the final score look fine, but, like, that was an ass-kicking.
It was. This is incredible, and we'll get to college football. We'll talk about it in the next segment. The Colts at 96%, and the number... two most likely team to make the playoffs, the Pats at 92%. Colts at 96, Pats at 92. I mean, just crazy. The Commanders, on the other hand, 9%. The Vikings, 10%. The Ravens, actually a surprisingly sprightly 41, although maybe they didn't know that Lamar wasn't going to be a practice yesterday. And the Bengals, 13%. So there you go. All right, we're going to come take a break. I haven't gotten any of Jeffrey's thoughts on what happened in college football to the Tigers, the Vols, Ole Miss, coaching, all of that. We'll talk about that next. Then Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies, then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're feeling lousy, I got a suggestion. Go to ProHealth. There you go. It's kind of nice to have a place. I always wonder, like I do have a a general doctor that I go to, who I like very much. But sometimes you just want to pop in, you know, Jeffrey, to a pop-in clinic, right?
Absolutely.
Whatever. And so so ProHealth is certainly there for that, for sick visits or whatever. But the range of things they do, they even have ProHealth membership program. You get your shots, your IVs, your checkup, your priority scheduling, all right in one place. But they've got your testosterone replacement. They got your sinus cocktail shot. And as I've been talking about lately, they have the weight loss shot. It's semaglutide. It's their weight loss shot. Can help you curb your appetite, shed the extra pounds. And they check in on you. They don't just give you a shot and have you walk away. They track your progress. And as I've been saying recently, it does strike me, here we are late October. Don't get to December 31st and say, oh, this is the year I'm going to lose weight. If you knew you have to lose weight, you can get on top of that now. It's ProHealth. They've got offices in Germantown, in Collierville, in Bartlett, in Arlington, and they've got two in East Memphis. But to learn more, you can go to ProHealthMemphis.com. All right. Chris Harrington in the second hour, Charles Fishman in the second hour. But we never got your thoughts because of your awful day yesterday on college football. So let's start with, we blew up the Memphis Tigers yesterday. Would you have endorsed that choice?
It's always tough of like, what do you do when your quarterback gets hurt and that greatly impacts the outcome of the game? With that being said, the final sequence was blow up worthy.
Well, so a couple things about this. First of all, I agree completely that if they had been playing in South Florida and their quarterback got hurt, I would say I would absolve them completely. They were playing a UAB team over which they were 23, whatever it is, point favorites, and they were down 10-0 before their backup quarterback took a snap.
Yes.
So that they do not get absolved. In terms of the last sequence, how much of that, and it was just horrifying, how much of that do you chalk up to the freshman quarterback? In other words, you know, game management, managing, like all of that, I think that actually would have turned out very different if it had been Brandon Lewis in there.
So the delay of game, I definitely chalk up to freshman quarterback. Like that's mechanics. He's not been in there. Like that. But man, the two false starts, like just get up, run. They had plenty of time. Get up and run the football. Like don't even try to do, because of the review, they had time to come to the sideline. They had time to get organized.
Get up and run the damn.
Get up and run the ball.
Crazy. Just devastating. So where does this leave you with respect to Memphis, their hopes, and let's do both scenarios. It's very true, and Ryan Silverfield is 100% correct to say everything's still in front of us, right? I think that's still true.
Nothing about Memphis changed on Saturday other than what you think about them. But in terms of their path, they were always going to have to win the league to be able to get the playoff spot. So they still have the next closest contenders, and they get them all at home.
Okay. So, but what if they win Saturday, woohoo, resilient,
yeah.
They're back, they did it, they beat the other colossus, what feels like in the conference, like triumphant day. Like that will be a triumphant day.
Absolutely.
If they lose Saturday, and hell, you look up the numbers that South Florida's been putting up, if they lose decisively Saturday, right? I'm just playing out both options.
Yep.
Win, it's going to be triumph. You're going to say, hey, everyone has a dud. They didn't, whatever, they took UAB, everything's still in front of them.
Right back to where we want to be.
It's a massive game weirdly enough, it's a massive game for very different reasons.
Yes.
But so if they win, we're right back where we were. Everyone's feeling great. If they lose, the problem is that if they had just lost, if they had beaten UAB and then lost to South Florida,
yeah,
then you might say,
we'll see them again.
Well, then you, but at least then you'd say, well, you know, like, do we demand that he be perfect? Like, but the problem is if they lose Saturday, it will be coupled with a loss to UAB.
Correct.
And who knows?
And that's kind of the tenor of the, that's kind of the through line of the Silverfield era, where there's always a game that they go up against that's not a that's there's no shame in losing it. Like the but there's always a game that you sit there and you go, what the hell happened there? I mean, it's UTSA last year. It's UAB this year.
Do you think if they lose, let's just say, if they win out, triumph, playoff, he's going to be a hot commodity on the coaching circuit, all of that, okay? If they lose three games this year, is he going to be offered a job somewhere else? There's so many jobs.
Yeah, that's the problem.
There's so many jobs. And not only that, there's big jobs, but like he could jump to a transfer job. He could jump to a job that, of course, there's not many jobs that feel just like this one because of your ability to win here. You know, like the Wyoming job's open now. You don't want that job.
No, I would agree. The problem is like now he's in that spot where it's like he has one of the best.
He has one of the best group of five jobs.
Correct.
He gets paid plenty of money. He's got a big NIL budget. You wouldn't jump for another group of five job, but would he be offered a?
I mean, a lot of this is going to depend. A lot of this is going to depend on what else opens up from the this person takes that job. So, because what could happen is you have this very ultra competitive market, and these people that are going to be like fishing in big ponds, and they're probably not going to land people, and so then you start going down your list.
Okay, let's speaking of fishing in big ponds, and they're not going to land people. Let's go to Ole Miss. What did you make of that loss? And then let's discuss the coaching situation. But let's go to the loss first.
Was I surprised Ole Miss lost at Georgia? No. The way it played out did surprise me, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, you took the under, man.
Yes, I mean, that was dead right off.
Dead with like 3 minutes. You sort of knew.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though it wasn't dead numerically.
No.
After the first two drives, it's like, holy crap.
When I saw that Ole Miss was going to be able to move the football like they did, the second half, or really maybe I guess like the fourth quarter was how I envisioned the game going, in that I did not have a ton of confidence that Ole Miss was going to be able to stop Georgia, which they didn't really all day. But I thought Georgia would be better at making Chambliss have to throw kind of those 10 to 15 yard passes that he just is not that good at. But Ole Miss just had a phenomenal game plan. And it's that weird feeling of normally when Ole Miss loses a game like that, you feel like they didn't show up. They were just outclassed whatnot. Yeah. But like you were left kind of going, I don't know what to think, because the defense is clearly going to be an issue. Like when they go up against basically a good offense, they just get,
I can't get stopped.
Correct. And so how many teams, though, left are going to be able to be as quote unquote complete as Georgia is? And I don't really know the answer, because like I don't think
on the Lane to Florida stuff, what do you think?
I think if you made me guess today, I think he's going to be the Ole Miss coach. What I think becomes the issue is how much does he just want to be the Florida coach? Like I would use the example, when Conan O'Brien wanted the Tonight Show, everyone's like, well, that's not really Conan's thing. Like, why? But it's like, you know what? He grew up watching Johnny Carson with his dad. There was some type of emotional connection there. Lane Kiffin worships Steve Spurrier. And what
well,
if he
I
just...
I mean, that's the thing. He worships Steve Spurrier, and Florida sees Lane Kiffin as the next, the successor to Steve Spurrier. He wins, he scores points, and he talks S.
Correct. And so, do those two things align? I don't know.
Well, does some of this depend on, because, John and I had a little bit of debate about this.
All
very
right.
Clearly, once upon a time, you could win at a different level in Florida than you could at Ole Miss. Once upon
Absolutely.
A time. That is no longer true because of NIL, whatever. It's definitely even the playing field. Is it not still true, though, that there is at least some, I'm not saying it outweighs all the good things about being at Ole Miss, familiarity, gratitude, all the things that he has there, peace of mind. It's the same way when Cignetti decides to stay at Indiana, it isn't because it's easier to win or just as easy to win at a high level at Indiana as and Penn State. It's because if Penn State is incrementally easier to win at a championship
sure.
at, it's just not worth the trouble, the pressure, whatever else. It's not enough of a gap to justify. I think I'll stay here where I'm happy. Is there any gap at all now? And I would argue there still is a little. Just because if you grew up in Belgrade or wherever, it's probably easier for you to go to, even if you're offered the same amount of money, it's probably more attractive for you to go to Florida than Ole Miss.
Where I think I would say the difference in the two jobs, if you wanted to build more with high school, I think it's easier to do it at Florida. I think there's a greater amount of talent. And so you can, if you want to do the, we have the base of our program is high school,
right,
and developing.
And then we augment.
And we fill in the rest.
You, do you believe that their NIL budgets will be next year similar? That one will be appreciably more than the other? This is, we're guessing at this, but what do you have any?
I would think they're pretty similar.
So if they're similar and you have better access to high schools, then it's at least marginally slightly easier to win in Florida.
Correct. I guess what I would say to go to your point yesterday, if you look at one of the things that coaches are getting held responsible for when a school pushes all the chips in, yeah, and goes all in, the coach is going to, and it doesn't work out, the coach gets held responsible. Like that's basically the biggest reason why Franklin got fired is that.
Right.
Well, Ole Miss pushed all their chips in
and
last year.
And he didn't get fired. And they were still happy to have him.
He got an extension, Jeff.
He got an extension. Well, that's the thing. That's gratitude, comfort, all of that.
Correct.
Does the way that the rest of the year will play out, does that have something to do with it?
So you keep hearing calendar.
I don't even mean that. I mean, like, if they have a triumphant, you know, if it's disappointing, if they have some disappointing losses, if they lose at Oklahoma, if they... Is that make you more at, forget the calendar for a minute, because that's an issue, might be an issue with a playoff. Although you can lose in the first week of the playoff.
Bingo.
And be, now that the transfer, the window is later.
Jeff, you can make it a New Year's Day.
Yeah. So you can, it's not really, you don't need your coach in place on November 1st. But if you have a slightly disappointing turn here to the season, you lose to Oklahoma this week.
Sure.
Does that make him more likely to say, you know what, let's go try this at Florida?
I don't think you can rule out that it's like a nothing burger, because like in the end, these are human beings. And if you have, like, let's say they lose at Oklahoma and then they lose one more.
Yeah.
Most human beings are going, I just can't get it done here.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, does that, because that is kind of what happened when he flirted with Auburn. I mean, he was going to Auburn until he didn't. And so, does that repeat itself again? I don't know. Like, trying to predict the decision-making of Lane Kiffin is not really a business I'd want to be in.
Okay. Thoughts on who else they might get if not Lane Kiffin?
I mean, I don't... Why am I feel like the only person that's like raising my hand? Why is Kenny Dillingham not a bigger name? Because it's definitely obvious to me. Yeah, he's got a decent Big 12 job, but he does not have the best Big 12 job.
Right.
The guy just wins.
Right. Got his quarterback back and won this past week. Yeah.
I think obviously they'll go to Drinkwitz, but Drinkwitz is going to have the same discussion that you and I are having about right. Kiffin.
Am I comfortable here?
It's the exact
here?
Same thing. I think Jed Fish is someone that you'd watch because, like, he's a Spurrier disciple. He
right.
went to school there. They're exciting enough, but, like, I do also wonder, like, his quarterback's been banged up, and if Damon Williams isn't healthy, they're not that good. Like,
what'd you make of Tennessee?
I just thought the whole game was two plays. I thought the safety,
right,
and then the pick six. Like, if those two plays go different, like, let's just say Tennessee punts. Tennessee's defense, I thought, showed up pretty well. Like, I thought they made Ty Simpson look more uncomfortable than he's been since week one. But the biggest problem with the sequence I had at the end was they ran the ball down there and then they let some clock run. They still had two timeouts. I think they should have ran the ball, taken the timeout, saved clock, and then tried to keep running it. Because at the end, there's 8 seconds left. They have no timeouts. You know what they're doing. You know that even if they come out in a heavy package, they're throwing. And I just don't love Joey Aguilar trying to make a tight throw on the run.
And then looking around the country, can they really, can all these dudes, can Fickell and Freeze and Norvell, who else, all get fired? Like, can everybody get fired?
Oh, yeah.
They can all get fired.
Oh, I think yesterday you saw a lot of public posturing, letting people know we got to get the money. If you want to do this, it's going to take money.
That was the statement that we saw from Florida State.
Yep.
That was like, we need money. Like,
and then Hugh had like a weird press conference moment, like basically begging for some type of endorsement from their athletic department. I was like, well, didn't he kind of get that last week?
It's just kind of amazing to think they're all going to get canned. You know, I mean, and then you got like Brian Kelly, who's, let's be honest, it's shaping up as a disappointing season yet again, right? But he's probably not going to get canned.
Or does he look somewhere else? I mean, I know he's not spring chicken, but like, do you maybe look to get out?
In terms of the James Franklin game day appearance, the part that was just totally predictable was, oh, it's just about relationships. Just about relationships. It's just all about my relationships. It's hard. I'm not the one to say that it's fair or not. That's for you people to say whether it's fair, but I just think about relationships. That's whatever. That was just canned coach speak. Whatever. Maybe true, but the part that I loved was we had the goal to win a national championship, and now we're going to go do stuff. We're just going to do that somewhere else. And he said it twice.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, if I'm the school that is hiring James Franklin, I love the fact that he just came out and said, yeah, we're just going to go win a national championship somewhere else.
I mean, he basically gave us, hey, this will be my introductory press conference.
Yeah. 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 And then, of course, I saved the best for last. Diego Pavia.
You know, the thing that was interesting about that game was how kind of boring it was, in the sense of like, it felt like very early on Vanderbilt was better, and it just kind of, the way the game played out, you just kind of left going, all right, the right team won. And I honestly thought, for all the crap Nussmeier's taken, like, I thought he played really well.
He was under total siege. And I mean, just total siege. He was, I mean, did you see the one play? It was the backup left tackle.
Yes.
Just getting mauled.
They had the spider cam version. And he's like, oh my gosh. Like, that was bad.
It was, anyway, good for Vandy for accomplishing that. All right, we've caught up on college football. We've got Harrington coming up next, and then Fish on Friday, on Tuesday. If you're selling your house, Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty, give them a call, 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. More than 300 five-star Google reviews, so you don't have to take my word for it. And Josh, in addition to being local and deeply experienced, he also is flexible in terms of the options that you have. If you decide the market's too tricky and you want to do the instant cash offer, he will do that. And it's not going to be one of these lowball offers that you're getting thrown at you from every cell phone, whatever. He'll come out to your house. He'll say, this is what we can give you for your house. This is what your house is worth. And you get up to 4 months to hand over the keys. Like, that's one way to go. But he will also come out and he'll look at your house and say, you know what? If you sell this the traditional way, I think you can get even more money. So you get a fair assessment that way. He did that recently for Grayson. It was the client's name who did that. And he honestly thought he was going to take the cash offer. And then Josh said, you know what, let's try to do this the traditional way. And they did. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, the house was under contract. It's Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Harrington next, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.